delegating water board authority to the executive officer workshop.
Ms. Morse.
Good evening, Vice Chair Dias, members of the board. My name is Bob Larson. I'm a senior environmental scientist with the Lahontan Water Board. I'm not going to talk about Lake Tahoe tonight. I'm here today to talk about the delegating of the water board's authority to the executive officer. Tom, walk away with the... I have a relatively short presentation for an extremely complicated topic. I've spent a bunch of time researching this and reviewing this. I'm going to do my best to explain it to you. We aren't asking the board for action tonight. What we are asking the board to do is engage with us and provide some feedback on what the board would like to see. Ultimately, it's the board's decision on how you'd like to delegate your authorities. And so tonight, again, I'm going to review the background, provide just a brief legal basis of delegation of authority. Talk about the previous resolutions. There are 6 resolutions currently that I'll cover that include delegated authorities. I'll talk about other regions. I did some work in terms of looking at what our partners in the 8 other regions do. And then I'll close by laying out some options and hopefully engaging with you in some discussion about what those options might look like. Okay. Just one background slide. The delegation of authority legal basis comes from the Clean Water Act, section 13223, allows the Water Board to delegate all of its authorities, with few exceptions. It cannot delegate its authority to promulgate regulations. The Water Board cannot delegate its authority to issue, modify, or revoke water quality control plans, or water quality objectives, or waste discharge requirements, or cease and desist orders. The Water Board cannot delegate its authority to hold water quality control plan hearings, and it cannot delegate its authority to recommend enforcement actions to the AG for consideration. So again, it can delegate its entire authorities to the executive officer with these limitations. So as far as, it's possible the Water Board took action before this, but the current action on the books, the earliest that we go, is 1990. And in 1990, this board took action to delegate all of its authorities to the executive officer in a manner consistent with the California Water Code. 1990. So that is in your packet, that is Order 9072. It's a one-page resolution, and it delegates all authorities, all the Water Board's authorities, to the executive officer. There's some reference in there about the Water Board's desire to state policy about where to site offices and a few other random things, but in general, it delegates all of its authorities to the executive officer in a manner consistent with the California Water Code. In 1991, there is a resolution that was adopted that delegates to the Water Board's authority to accept preliminary closure plans for waste disposal sites that meet applicable standards. It references standards in Chapter 15, which have since been superseded by Title 27 requirements. It basically says that the executive officer can accept these preliminary closure plans as long as they meet these standards, and if they don't meet the standards, then they have to be brought to the Water Board. Again, this current resolution is quite old. It's inconsistent and conflicts with existing law, and frankly, it's not necessary because the Water Board already delegated that authority to its executive officer in 69072. 69308 is the first of 3 resolutions I'm going to talk about that delegates the Water Board's authority to issue prohibition exemptions. This one specifically deals with Tahoe and Truckee and outlines when the executive officer can issue these prohibition exemptions as outlined in the basic plan. This was primarily done to address a workload issue. There's a lot of restoration and erosion control projects and whatnot that happen in Tahoe and Truckee. Many of these happen in floodplains or in SEZ areas where there's a prohibition against the disturbance or the discharge in these areas. And so the Water Board adopted this resolution to delegate its authority to issue those prohibition exemptions. Again, nice of them to do so. The authority was already delegated in 1972. What this did do, however, was put some limits on the size of the projects that can be done under that delegated authority. 60096 delegates the authority to the executive officer to issue these prohibition exemptions in the cases of emergency or when the board lacks a quorum. Nice specifics. This authority was already delegated in 1990 with the others, and this one does not limit that authority in any way, but does clarify and provide some specifics as to the executive officer's authority in these cases, again, of emergency or when the board lacks a quorum. In 2008, we adopted yet another resolution to clarify and limit when the executive officer can issue prohibition exemptions in Tahoe and Truckee. I believe it was an oversight that the 1993 resolution was not rescinded at this time, so we actually have two active resolutions that conflict with each other. This one, again, sets limits on the size of the projects that that the executive officer can issue a prohibition exemption, 2,000 square feet of disturbance and 100 cubic yards of fill material are the numbers that are included in there. So again, this sets a size limitation. The last resolution that deals with delegated authority is 2010-34, and this delegates the authority to the executive officer to settle administrative civil liabilities when no hearing is required. This is shortly after the State Water Board adopted its enforcement policy. This is consistent with what some other regions have done. I chatted with our attorney on this. There's no legal need for this. Again, this authority was delegated as part of the broad delegation authority in 1990. But again, this is just very specific that then provides the executive officer the authority to issue these settlements when no hearing is required. So what's the need for action? Well, as you may have taken from some of my comments, we have a lot of resolutions, and some of them are pretty confusing. It's pretty hard to wade through this and figure out exactly what's going on. Furthermore, some of those resolutions are quite dated and conflict with updated policy. Specifically, and part of the reason that I was brought into this, was the 2014 Basin Plan amendments that Chuck Curtis and I worked on amended the Tahoe and Truckee prohibitions and the associated exemption criteria. Within that, we explicitly delegated the authority in the Basin Plan to the executive officer to issue prohibition exemptions for restoration projects, for instance. We also changed the wording and the numbering of all the prohibitions and associated exemptions. So those three delegated authority resolutions related to prohibition and exemptions are just in conflict with the updated policy at this point. So the need for action right now is we have existing resolutions that are outdated, that conflict with current law, and it's pretty confusing. I know Patty's referenced a couple different times that one of her first challenges when she arrived here was to read through the resolutions and find what authorities have been delegated. I, too, had that joy in this process of trying to find those resolutions and figure out what this all meant. And so I don't think I missed anything at this point. We have six resolutions, and it would be best if we did something about that. comments? Thoughts? and again, this is just a workshop. Our hope is to get your feedback.
How do you really feel about that?
You know, it's getting close to my bedtime. No, it's been really interesting, and I think that it's the time is now. Again, it was brought very clear to me in the process of researching this that we need to do something about this. And I think part of the reason we waited on this was because of the 2014 amendments. The 2014 amendments did a lot of great work. You know, Chuck and I worked pretty hard to lay that out, and I think we made some good strides there. It kind of laid the framework for this, so I think it's a good opportunity.
What did you notice about other regions?
What did I notice about other regions? Great segue. Other regions. I did some research looking at other regions, and what other regions have done essentially is delegated all of the water board authorities to the executive officer in a manner consistent with the California Water Code. I've included a couple example resolutions in your packet. The Santa Ana region, for instance, is consistent with what I'll call a simple resolution. It is a one-page resolution. It essentially echoes the California Water Code, and it just says we delegate all of our authorities to the executive officer with the exceptions listed in the California Water Code. You do see some exceptions to this or some more complicated resolutions. Many of them, for instance, include the authority for the executive officer to issue settlements to ACLs, for instance. The Region 4 example that I included that was adopted last year, there's some specifics in there about ACL. They actually limit the amount of ACL settlements that the executive officer can grant. And it also provides some other specifics about when items should be brought to the board despite delegated authorities. If it's something that's controversial, if there's significant stakeholder input, if a water board member wants it, if in the executive officer's judgment it deems it appropriate. These are good things that I think are existing practice, but the Region 4 resolution does a nice job, I think, of laying out some of those things in clear English and describe that. So with respect to other regions, again, generally what we see is a broad delegation of authority in some cases with a few specifics.
And if I could add to that, some regions also do a broad authority, but then they may have more specific things that they would like to see more than others, and they will sometimes by memo or by direction to the executive also, like I'll use the Region 5 example, where they've asked PAM or to handle more of the smaller enforcement cases and not bring them to the board because for the irrigated ag, they have a lot of smaller penalties. So even though their provision is broad, administratively they asked for, further direction and refinement of how to handle it.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that in options, but again, that is an option that the board has in terms of delegating broad authority and providing specifics in a memorandum rather direction. Speaking of options, I've laid out three options. That doesn't mean there are just three options, but these three options are kind of the scale the scope of what the options might be. The first is a combined resolution. What staff can do is essentially take the existing six resolutions, deal with any conflicts or updates that are needed, and basically lump all of that content into a single document, keep all of those policy references, keep all of the existing content into a single resolution, and use that as the basis for delegated authority. On the other end of the spectrum, you can do like the Santa Ana region did. The Water Board can essentially adopt a single one-page resolution that is very simple, that outlines that all Water Board authorities are delegated to the executive officer with the exceptions listed in law. Those are kind of the extremes of what can be done. And of course, the third option then is a blend of that. You can take a simple resolution that delegates all of the authority consistent with what we did in 1990, and then provide some direction, include some specific policy issues that are important to the board, and provide some of that direction. Within that blended resolution, this is just an example of the things that we have in current resolutions you might want to consider. Does the board want to set limits on prohibition exemptions? Is there a size limit or a fill limit or something along those lines that makes sense that you'd like to see? We can include that in the delegated authorities to make sure that any time that the executive officer takes a prohibition exemption action, that it's within those limits. Or there might be other details. Maybe you want to see, things that happen in a certain location or a certain type of project. Again, the sky's the limit in terms of how you can provide those limits. The current resolutions, the three resolutions that I mentioned that deal with prohibition exemptions, all of them reference the requirement to notice the public 10 days in advance of the executive officer taking action. We also notice the Water Board members that this is going to take place. This is a requirement that exists in the Basin Plan. Chuck and I held that requirement in the amendments that were done last year. So there's an existing requirement in the Basin Plan that this 10-day notice happens. So regardless of what's in resolution, there will be a 10-day public notice. The question then is whether or not it needs to be included in this resolution or not. And again, if the board chooses to extend that public notice, maybe they wish to do a 30-day public notice in the future, or maybe they wish to do away with this public notice, then if it is included in the resolution, we would then need to amend the resolution in addition to the Basin Plan. So it's just a consideration there. That said, the board can include it in a resolution just to be clear that this is an expectation with respect to prohibition exemptions. Waste site closure plans, I included this in there because we have an existing resolution on it. Frankly, there's not a whole lot of decision space here. The law has changed. We can include reference to this to the executive officer's authority to issue approve these preliminary waste site closure plans, but again, we would need to basically do it in a manner consistent with current law to the point where it doesn't say much. So it's not anything that is included. But again, if the board wanted to be abundantly consistent with the historical resolutions, we could include a paragraph to that effect. And the last one is administrative civil liabilities. Again, with a blanket resolution, the board is delegating the authority to the executive officer to settle administrative civil liabilities. Like Region 4, you could set limits. The Region 4 resolution sets a limit of $50,000. It says that any ACL that is of $50,000 that has a maximum of $100,000, that is the limit of where the executive officer can take action. This question was brought to the Water Board in 2010 when the resolution was adopted. I believe it's 2010-34. At that time, the Water Board declined to put a limit on it and basically said the executive officer has the authority to issue these settlements in any amount. So, again, these are things that the Water Board can consider. Again, this is just a flavor. There may be other things that you want to include in a resolution that should be part of that discussion. Within those options, you can, again, specifically reference a policy. You can be silent on it and just rely on the delegated authority. If it's not explicitly listed in the California Water Code as not allowed to be delegated, it is assumed that it is delegated. And so, again, you can be silent and say that it is a broadly delegated authority. And the third option is similar to what Patty just discussed. You can be silent in the resolution and have a clean resolution that just delegates authority, and then provide specific policy direction to the executive officer through memorandum. Again, perhaps there's a specific type of action you like to see, a specific area where you want to see actions, or a specific concern. A memo or a communication with the executive officer can provide that. So those are some of the considerations. That's about all I have for presentation. Next steps is, again, what we're hoping tonight is to get your feedback. I'd love to get some words from you as to what you'd like to see regarding a delegated authority resolution. And provided we get that feedback, what we'll do is draft a resolution and then circulate that draft for public review and comment, and then hold public hearing and consider adopting that delegated resolution to clean up the six resolutions we have. Any resolution that I craft will hopefully have a rescission portion in it, which hopefully we'll have about six resolutions that we will rescind. So at a minimum, what we'll be doing is replacing six resolutions with one, so that's a good thing. And it'll be updated. So those are the next steps. With that, I'm happy to answer questions and hopefully have some discussion with you and maybe answer questions.
Any questions, Mr. Pumphrey?
I don't have any questions. I have some thoughts. Well, it does not seem to be any question that we need to clean this up for a number of reasons, which you have very excellently described. The threshold question, I guess, that the board needs to answer is whether or not it feels that its interests and the interests of the region are best served by the adoption of the simple, I believe it's Santa Ana delegation. Because if we do that, then all we have to do is a similarly concise delegation plus the necessary rescissions to clean up the residue. And that's pretty straightforward. And I don't know what the answer to that is, even in my own mind, let alone what the sense of the board is. But I think that's the threshold question. Because if we want to do that, then we don't have to make any inquiries as to any of the other issues which you have presented tonight. On the other hand, if we decide that we don't want to do that and we want to get into the swamp of limitations and clarifications, that's going to be a really, really complex and tedious and a bunch of other not positive adjective process, which is going to take a lot of time. It may require a subgroup of the board to wade into that and start to isolate those issues. And I think that if we do that, we would need to be careful of two pitfalls. One is that the limitations and clarifications would become so detailed and so specific that the document would become uselessly huge. And the second one is that history seems to tell me that there's a certain dynamic to these limitations and clarification, so that what's a useful limitation and clarification in 2015, there's a good likelihood, it looks to me like in 2018, that might not be its status any longer. At the same time, a limitation and a clarification that we didn't even think of in 2015, in 2017, is going to become painfully obvious if that's the road we go down and we want to have limitations and clarifications. So I think we need to be mindful of building some mechanism into this document that allows for the easy rescission of parts that we come to decide weren't as important as we thought they were, as well as an easy addition without being duplicative and unnecessarily cumbersome of the oversights that we failed to think of.
Thank you.
So I'm debating whether to start with questions or to start with statements. So I'm going to start with statements. As far as I'm concerned, we can rescind the prohibition exemption limits. We can rescind the prohibition exemption 10-day public notice. It makes sense to have whatever length of public notice only in one place, which is the basin plan. So if we change it in the basin plan, we don't have to figure out where else we have to change it. So it makes no sense to have it as part of this. Makes sense to rescind the waste site disclosure plans. On the administrative, on the ACL, I'm agnostic. So I'd like to hear what other board members think about that. And then the only other, so my proposal would be to adopt the Santa Ana version, something like it, adding item number 8 from, what board is that?
LA
board. Because it's not, this is more like a tickler list. It's not legally binding, but it's both. So it's saying, you know, but so everything's delegated except that we can't delegate. But if it's a unique or unusual nature, if it departs from the policies of the board, if it's significantly controversial, if it involves a significant policy question, there's a substantial risk of litigation, if a board member requests that the item be brought, or if the opinion of the executive officer it should be brought. I mean, it's just putting down in writing that these are the things that we agree to, both the regional board members are reassured that the staff is thinking about these issues, and the staff can refer to this list, and, I mean, maybe this isn't the right list. I think it's a pretty good list myself. to ask yourself, does this issue fall into one of those categories, meaning we should bring it before the board? But it's not the way they have it worded here. It's not legally binding. It's more like a tickler list.
Right.
And I like that. So then the only other question I have is sort of related to what you were talking about, the Central Valley. And this is a question for anybody in the room, really. Are there aspects of our region that we should take into consideration? And I can't really think of any, but I just want to throw that out for people to think about, that would be worth having something like, you know, what the Central Valley did, that there are a whole bunch of cases of a certain kind, or I don't know. I'm just sort of throwing that question out. That's what I have to say.
On the ACL order part, if I could give you a little context of where that came from for the regions, was we got into a position where everyone was really behind on their mandatory minimum penalties and enforcement in general. And so when the Office of Enforcement came into being, that was one of the things that they were trying to push through, get all these mandatory minimum penalties off the books. Not having NPDES permits for the most part, we don't have a lot of mandatory minimum penalties. But what they tried to do was push through for the EOs to be able to kind of settle a lot of these outstanding penalties that they needed to get off the books. And so these were brought to the boards, basically asking the boards, how do you feel about the EOs settling these penalties? So I think we probably did that at that time because everybody else was doing it.
Well, I mean, the way Santa Ana's written that, you can settle anything that doesn't require a hearing.
Right, so theirs is...
That's what ours says, too.
Yeah.
Then there's the question of, you know, other boards are saying, if the amount is above such and such, we want to hear about it. I mean, that's...
It, yeah.
And I don't know if that's something...
But I think it's, I think...
What the benefits of that would be, or what the...
Well, I mean, I think the benefit is if you want to be clear that you want to hear things that are above a certain dollar amount, which I think would also be related, you know, that it's potential for litigation, that it's controversial, that it's, you know, I think it
right.
sort of identifies those same kind of things.
I mean,
that
if it's above,
that list
like,
does.
I mean, we had a situation where the parties agreed to a settlement of over $2.5 million, you know, which is way above any limit I could imagine.
Right.
But it's like, if the parties agree, why should we, why have a hearing?
I think Kim makes a good point, and it partially answers your other question, too, in terms of, are there specific areas we should address? Or, again, getting at the ACL issue, well, if you have this list of expectations that anything controversial or a significant policy or involved stakeholders or risk of litigation, if you have these things in place, then you've likely thrown a blanket over the significant ACLs or the PG&E Inklings
okay.
of the world or things
okay.
like that. That's my sense.
That's a good point.
I think from a resolution standpoint, I think that is a good approach. I think the question for the board, and this is something that you can tackle over time, doesn't need to be addressed tonight or, frankly, at any particular board meeting. If along the way, if in 2017, as Mr. Humphrey says, you decide there's something that needs to be addressed, great, craft a memo, right? Put direction clearly in place that says that we expect this, regardless of delegated authorities, this has to take place. Then that addresses that and gives you the flexibility to do that. I think that option is always there, and as Patty indicated, this is something that other boards have done. So it's just a matter of, again, how specific do you want to get in a resolution, or does that sort of overarching expectation of understanding address those concerns?
Mm-hmm. That's why board members, when the settlement was, well, regarding LEDWP, I talked to a few folks and got the sense that, you know, in my recommendation to take it to the board, the amount is $95,000 in that range. Because there's public interest in that one is probably appropriate for the board to tackle. And that's just my style. I mean, if it what is listed in the five, it's controversial, it's significant,
right.
There's public interest, there's the EJ issues, you know.
I think what Region 4 has done is a really nice job of actually putting on paper what is the understood agreement and policy. Right, again, you know, I think the executive officers aren't going to, you know, exercise delegated authority when there's a highly controversial policy item when they know that that's something that needs to go before the board. So again, this just puts on paper some of those expectations.
Yeah. Okay, so my proposal is take the Santa Ana one, add item number 8 out of the LA one, and that would be good.
I love your specific direction. Thank you.
Is that Jody?
Yeah, I like Santa Ana also. I think it's great. This monthly and I put in number 8 and bring it back in draft form. We may need to revise it at that point.
Yeah. And I want to stress that there are additional things that the Water Board thinks, you know, would like to include in that list. You know, we're certainly open to hearing that. And again, I don't want to put you on the spot right now and say we have to have that tonight. But, you know, should we choose to move forward with this in the coming months, the opportunity is there.
Mr. Sundell, I like the direction we're going, but I thought of one other thing that we might want to consider adding to this mix. And not exactly sure this might already be covered, but I was thinking that you know, we give notice now, 10-day notice for various EO, in 10 days I intend to. I was thinking perhaps they only need a 5-day, but I was thinking it would be nice for the board members to get a call it a 5-day, maybe we'll change that 5-day notice of all exercising the delegated authority, except possibly in an emergency, just like a log. So we can see what the EO is planning to do. That way, the board member has some particular problem with a proposed action to call and say, "I think you know, you got to bring that one to the board before it gets done."
And I can't remember I've read so many of these resolutions, but essentially that type of language does exist in terms of the expectation that the executive officer engage at least with the board chair, I think is the one that I saw. So, you know, we'll notify the board chair of the intent to do something along those lines, but I think that's a great suggestion that there be a notification of the entire board in terms of the desire and expectation.
That way
plan to exercise, yeah.
The board knows what's going on and doesn't think that the executive, I'm not concerned for the executive officer, but, you know, just the general case that the executive officer isn't going off in a direction that the board really prefer not be done.
And then there's the board expectation. The expectation, again, I think that we're, you know, Dr. Horn is suggesting lay out that any board member has the right to say, bring that to the board.
I'll add my comments. I also tend to favor the Santa Ana version, but yet I don't think it would harm it to add some of the items from Section 8 from the LA region, as Dr. Horn suggested. Probably a good idea.
Since we're not taking action tonight, I think that Dr. Horn is on the right track. And I'd like to see the proposed resolution, of course. But when we get to the point where we take action, I think we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. We need to sort of look at what the usefulness is of delegation as a tool, and that may seem really manifest and obvious, because it is, but whether or not how we want that to function, and my concern is I'm a big fan of the idea of consistency and predictability. I think that the public has a right to expect that from governmental agencies. I think the board has a right to expect that as it goes through what it does. And I think the staff and the executive officer have a right to have an expectation of consistency and predictability as well. And while I like the list in item 8 from the sample as a checklist, but, you know, my observation would be that it's so vague that it's somewhat meaningless in the predictability consistency category. There's no telling what anything is going to be at any given point in time, and I think that leads you down a path where as things are plucked off the checklist for this reason or that reason, that it then leads you to start to be tempted to create additions, the memo that you talked about, that are limitations and clarifications that get, and all of a sudden you've taken your simple delegation, and over time you've made it into the thing that a very cluttered kind of thing. And so I think that when it comes time to comment on the proposed resolution, that I would really encourage staff and board members and the public, I hope the public will look at this and say, does this make this useful to us as a tool? Is this something that that we can work with and that we can have some expectation that I could predict within some range of confidence what kind of item is really going to come to the board and what kind of item really isn't? Because I think we're asking for trouble. I intuitively think this, because I can't give you an example of what it would be, but I intuitively think that we're asking for trouble if we could have two or three items of pretty similar circumstance, two of which came to the board, one of which didn't, over a period of, say, 18 months. And I don't know that the language of Section 8 here is enough to point to say that's why this one didn't, but these other two did. And that's just an observation. I don't think it has anything to do with what we need to do tonight, and I would like to see us pursue your suggested resolution, because I think it's a good approach to the question.
I think it's a really astute observation, and that's something we've wrestled a little bit with, is making sure that we weren't in some way undercutting the public process, or, you know, or in other, as you say, setting up a situation where there will be inconsistency in action. One thing that I forgot to stress, despite the fact that I've gone through this a dozen times in the last week, is the fact that any of these actions, anything we're talking about here, doesn't effectively change the authority that's already been delegated to the executive officer. We're not changing, with the exception, I think, of the limitations on the prohibition exemptions, and again, I don't think that's, most of those limits were set for restoration projects, and we addressed that through the prohibition, through the basin plan amendment. So, again, I just want to stress that I don't think we're changing the status quo, and I think, getting at your point, is the reality that the public right now doesn't have, it's very challenging, if it was challenging for me, it's challenging for Patty to figure out what the delegated authority was. I think having it in a single document has the potential to make it a little bit easier to identify when that is.
Yeah,
but
no,
the point's well taken. That
everyone's agreeing on that.
Yeah, we don't want to set up. We certainly don't want to set up a situation where it isn't transparent as to when those things are and are not brought to the board. And your point's well taken. That again, if setting up subjective or otherwise, somewhat fluffy language about when things are and aren't brought to the board isn't that meaningful, maybe that isn't that useful. I don't know.
But the opposite edge to the sword is that if you make it so transparent that you can predict with spot-on accuracy what's going to come to the board and what's not, you're going to have a document that's about 115 pages long. So
I'm going to be back and get a resolution every month.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this is a really fine line to try to travel. But I think my thought is maybe the way to approach finding that solution is to really focus on what this is useful for as a tool to the overall operation of the board and its business, as opposed to what kind of language might look good or whatever. What are we trying to accomplish by doing this delegation, and how can we best do that? That's what I think should animate the contents of the resolution.
I think ultimately it's efficiencies.
Right.
I mean, we're trying to, bring to the board or give to the staff or the executive officer to approve those things that work best.
It's also kind of a board question. What is it that the board would like to see? Would you like to see all controversial items and judges? I mean, it's kind of like everything. What is it that the board would like to see?
Well, and what is a controversial item? What I think is a controversial item, and what Mr. Jardine thinks is one or not important, those may be three really different things. I don't know how you make these more specific. If I did, I'd make suggestions. But I think it's so broad that anything could be or nothing could be. And those are the guidelines. Those are the parameters.
Can I ask you a question? You raise a really good point, and it's definitely worth thinking about. And I'm just wondering if the thought leads you to either not having the Section 8 included at all, so just basically following Santa Ana, or being more specific in the number 8, because, I mean, it just seems to me that if we leave out that section entirely, it doesn't address the issue, because then it leaves the discretion about what comes before the board entirely up to the executive officer, who, because even executive officers are human, mm-hmm. might not be always consistent in how they make that call.
Maybe the question is just as simple as the executive officer can make that decision, a board member could make the request, or there could be some mechanism by which the public made the request. You wouldn't have to couch it on whether or not it was controversial, or whether or not it was bigger than a bread box, or whether or not it was more than X amount of money. It's just a question of, does somebody who's a stakeholder in this process feel that it's necessary for this to go to the board? I mean, that's really capricious, and it certainly opens an awful lot of doors, but I don't know that arbitrarily saying, you know, can we settle this for $100,005 throws it over a threshold that means that it should have come to the board if we can just get it, or can we get that 5 cents knocked out of there so it doesn't have to. That's similarly arbitrary.
Yeah, we can throw that one out. I guess a question to Patty or anyone on the staff. I mean, so I have had experience on this board where actions were taken that then became hugely controversial, that then became this albatross that we dealt with for years before we could calm that controversy down, where that all of that could have been headed off if it had been handled in a more sensitive way in the first place. And I'm guessing, and this is a pure guess about how your lives go, but as you are working on these issues, you can sense, can't you, by the phone calls that come in and the responses that you get, which ones are likely to be controversial and which ones aren't.
I think that's true. You know, and that's, at least for me, why when they are in that gray zone for me, I always pick the phone and call board members and ask them the question, would you like this to come to the board?
I see three items on this list that are, hesitate to say objective, I'll say less subjective, right? Matters that involve substantial risk of litigation. And again, one could argue that there's still a fair amount of subjectivity there, but nonetheless, I think that if there's a risk of litigation, that's something that could perhaps be on the list. The other two, I think, are more cut and dry. Any matter that a regional board member asks, any regional board member gets the opportunity to say. And then any matter that, in the judgment of the EO, it comes to the board. And I think that to me is actually more consistent with the existing policy and the existing action than the rest of these things. I think, Mr. Pumphreys, your comments are well taken, and I struggle with that a little bit myself. And I think it says highly controversial as well as matters of unique or unusual nature. I think in those things, it's either going to be a board member or the executive officer using their judgment that says it has to go. And so, maybe Ms. Horn disagrees. I just want to suggest that's one option, is to narrow this list, is all it suggests, is that you can narrow the list to not include those subjective options. Something to consider. I defer to the board, of course, Ms. Horn. You scoffed pretty instantly at my suggestion, so I don't want to imply that otherwise.
It's just that, I mean, so much happens that I learn about after the fact. So,
well, then we're maybe at Mr. Sandell's suggestion that any time the executive officer...
I get all those notices. I mean, they go by it.
You don't read them?
I read the subject line. I do read the subject line. But there's more that happens that I don't hear about. I mean, all of the monitoring of vegetation management projects, for example, in the Tahoe Basin.
And those things aren't necessarily board authorities. Those are just they're just actions of the
board. They have been hugely controversial, and we have spent a lot of time in the board meetings talking about our policies regarding vegetation management.
I wouldn't disagree with you, but I would argue that that is not a question of the board delegating its authority. That's a question of, as Patty said, turning it on its head, what things do you want to see? Not necessarily what things do you not want to see.
No, but that's one where, I mean, it was a controversial issue. Initially, the EO did not bring that in front of the board, and it blew up. I think with a list that says controversial, a potentially controversial issue, it's just a tickler to think
Doesn't
about
hurt.
That.
Yeah.
And that's all.
I think you're both on to something. I think 1 through 4 are the reasons why someone under 6 or 7 would take action. somebody would notice that this doesn't seem to be consistent with the policy of the board. I'd like to have this come before the board. Maybe 1 through 4 could be exemplars in the policy that says the board member could request that it come before the board because it, for example, because it seems to conflict with existing board policy. For example, because it seems to be unusually controversial. Maybe that's the way really to approach this, is that there's a difference between the mechanism by which something comes to the board and the reason that someone chose to avail themselves of the mechanism.
And I would also just point out with that that one of our hugely controversial items, which was the replacement water order, didn't come before the board.
Right.
And in part because it was just a difficult hearing to have within a board meeting time period. So there may be things like that where it's controversial, but it's best handled.
So that I actually pulled some board members and they chose it not to go to the board.
Right. So there's controversial won't always mean that it's best to have a board hearing on it.
And I think this goes back to Mr. Sandell's suggestion, which makes sure that any time the executive officer is choosing to exercise a delegated authority, the board members are notified or otherwise engaged in that process.
Well, okay, another example before the replacement water was the whole house replacement order. And that's one that, I mean, I think what we said in the board meeting was we would like the staff to look into the possibility. And then before we knew it, the order was out. And, you know, there have been unintended consequences of that order, and that might have been a case where having another board meeting about the different options and thinking about pros and cons, we might have come out to a different place than where we did.
I think that was my board the first 2 or 3 weeks on the job.
No, it was this one.
Oh,
yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, these are, I think, just thoughts.
Yeah,
that we now turn over to you and with the expectation that you will draft and present to us a perfect document that will require no further debate or discussion. And it will be greatly appreciated.
I appreciate the discussion, actually. This is exactly what we've hoped for out of this workshop, was to get this type of engagement. So I will reiterate what I heard just to make sure that I didn't hear anything or that I'm understanding you correctly, is what I'd like to move forward with and what I plan to move forward with in response to board comments is to draft a simple resolution that delegates all of the water board authorities to the executive officer in a manner consistent with the California Water Code. That's the one-page simple resolution, the Santa Ana region being the example. I will include in there the list from the Los Angeles region in some fashion, in a manner that hopefully that highlights primarily board member and executive officer judgment in this, and use the other more subjective items as examples. I will also include, which again I think is a great example, a suggestion is some language in there about noticing the board about the executive officer's intent to exercise delegated authorities. And again, I think this is something that's been done somewhere, so I'll lift some language from somewhere and pop it in there. I will also have a glorious paragraph that will rescind 6 resolutions, which will be the most enjoyable piece to write.
That one will meet no opposition.
Yeah, it won't. Timing-wise, I think, you know, again, I'd be happy to sit on this. I can wait for November. I can run this as long as you want. I also have the opportunity to bring this back to you at your next top of board meeting in July. I can cram on this in the next couple of months and bring something to you. So I just want to see if the board has a desire to ruminate or otherwise provide some additional thoughts and direction. Happy to sit on this and wait through the summer. If you feel that direction has been provided and you would like a divinely perfect document brought to you back in July, I shall endeavor to do so at no cost.
I like July.
July's good.
Well,
if
you can.
If you can do it.
Yeah, if you can.
My workload's irrelevant.
Oh, he can.
No, this is actually, it's not that, it's challenging. Most of the challenging work, frankly, was getting to this point, yeah. Understanding where we are, understanding what's been done, understanding what needs to be done. And then you all have done the other heavy lifting here as well, which is actually providing clear direction. I've spoken to the board on a number of different occasions, and this is actually some of the most clear direction moving forward that I've ever received, which I really, really, really appreciate. And so it's
that's a surprise.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I'm grateful. Usually we're bringing something to you that's already sort of tidy up in a bow and ready to go, right? And that it's, you know, this is what we think, and usually I can package up in a nice glossy presentation, and you all, by the time I'm done, you're glazed over and you nod your heads, and it's great. Or it's good enough, right? But this is, again, an instance where I think the board has engaged and provided clear direction to staff, so I want to express my gratitude, Ms. Horn, not my surprise at the action. So thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you in July. That'll be my third or fourth consecutive top of board meeting this year. It'll be super fun. So. Anything else? Any other questions? Anything else before this evening? Thank you very much.
Very nice.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
All
right.
And I believe that completes all the agenda items that we've scheduled, isn't it?